Liebe Zuschauer, liebe Zuschauerinnen,
dear viewers, dear listeners, warm greetings to the 17th program of our series on the topic, the Speaking All Unity, the Word of the Universal Creator Spirit. With the explanations in this cosmic work of teaching and learning from the School of the Divine Wisdom, we have received from Gabriela a one-of-a-kind insight into the emergence and the development of the seven-dimensional pure spiritual creation of the being, as well as into the fall event, that is, into the turning away from God, the all love and unity of some spirit beings. To summarize, the fall beings wanted the dissolution of the divine creation to then found a kingdom according to their own concepts. For this they took with themselves a creative quantity of energy, a handful of light ether, to bring about the dissolution of all divine forms. Their plan failed. The fall from the divine principle of link and be into the separate, bind, and rule took them over unimaginable periods of time into the coarse material and finally into the emergence of man. In our last program on the infinite, inexhaustible light ether, the primordial substance, from which the infinite eternal, the primordial God, drew and formed, we closed with a few sentences which could serve as an introduction to the chapter of today. We remember. Symbolically speaking, you, all of us, move in the mighty ocean of the inexhaustible, eternal light ether, of the eternal God, the eternal intelligence, the creator power, whom we may call Father as his sons and daughters. When you hear about the history of the earth, think about, let us all think about, the work of drawing and creating of God. In a handful of light ether is everything contained in all things. Mankind of all generations has lost their chance. The fall energy is for the most part used up. There is only one thing, heading towards the All One. Dear fellow people, we now read from our book to the program with a scientific insertion under the chapter title, The Emergence of the Earth According to the Present Knowledge of Science. The findings of science are subject to constant change and expansion. It is certain that science today is very far from being able to decipher all the interrelationships in the material universe. This also applies to knowledge about the emergence of the Earth. But during past years and decades, science has presented many new findings that, with all due caution regarding the soundness of individual statements, do contain many details describing an evolution from the so-called Big Bang until today, which vaguely remind us of the truth about the eternal being and the emergence of the purely spiritual worlds described in this book. As we've heard, the material universe, in contrast to the fine material universe and to the finer material universe, consists of the most strongly compressed and transformed down energy. Everything that happens in the material universe is therefore tied to the three dimensions. For this reason, all possible phenomena and processes are not directly comparable with the processes in the pure being, which is seven-dimensional. Nevertheless, we can recognize that, similar to there, an evolution in cycles and rhythms also takes place in the material universe, from the very beginnings to ever more complex and differentiated forms, from the very beginning of matter to the emergence of the heavenly bodies, to all forms of life, from the minerals to the plants and animals, all the way to human beings. You will frequently discover parallels and perhaps conclude that the blueprint of the material universe, as it formed according to the fall concept of the rebellious beings, is nothing more than a pale reflection of the creation plans of the all-intelligence God in the pure being. In the three-dimensional world, only little is left of the beauty and perfection of the eternal creation, which is still being maintained by the remaining quantity of the handful of light ether taken along by the rebellious beings. How the Earth emerged in this three-dimensional sphere is explained as follows by a scientist from the viewpoint of the present position of science. We begin with the so-called primeval era and we listen to what scientific knowledge is available about it.
You can read these explanations in the book to this program. The history of the Earth can be divided into four great eras, namely the primeval time of the Earth, the Paleozoic era, the Mesozoic era, and the Xenozoic era. The individual periods are then subdivided by geologists. Our solar system, including the Earth, emerged about 4.6 billion years ago from a contracting cloud of gas and dust. Several tens of millions of years later, the Moon also developed. It is assumed that it developed from the debris of a collision between the small planet Theia with the Earth. During the period from about 4.1 to 3.8 billion years ago, meteorites very frequently hit the Earth and the Moon, so that only about 3.8 billion years ago, a permanent, initially thin Earth crust was able to form. The gases rising from the Earth formed a dense atmosphere, which consisted primarily of water vapor and carbon dioxide. The condensation of the water vapor resulted in the formation of the oceans. The primeval time of the Earth is also called Precambrian time, and it encompasses the time from the emergence of the Earth until about 545 million years ago. Thus, the earliest phase encompasses a very long time, namely about 4/5 of the entire history of the Earth. There are still rock complexes on Earth that are more than 3 billion years old. Such rock complexes can be found on all continents. They are called the Old Shields and form the oldest continental cores, respectively, around which all younger mountain ranges amassed. During Precambrian time, plate tectonics were much more intense than today. This means that there was a strong shifting and movement of the tectonic plates, causing numerous mountain ranges to develop and also to disappear. Interestingly enough, the arrangement of the continents and oceans changes every 200 to 300 million years during the course of the history of the Earth.
Here we can already see a parallel. In the explanations given up to now to the topic of the speaking all unity, the word of the universal creator spirit, we have learned that in the pure spiritual being, the development of life begins in the mineral kingdom, and on the earth at first there were mountains, continents, and earth plates, but there is no talk yet about some kind or other form of life. What does science now say to the further development of life on the earth?
Today, we are more or less certain that about 3.5 billion years ago, microorganisms, so-called cyanobacteria, also known as blue-green algae, lived on the Earth. Still today, there are up to 3.5 billion old calcareous fungiform structures that are called stromatolites and that were formed from these bacteria. At that time, oxygen was not yet present in the Earth's atmosphere. The cyanobacteria most likely came up with photosynthesis and, with the help of sunlight, were able to develop organic substances from water and carbon dioxide. The first bacteria still had no cell nucleus. The genetic substance, DNA, was free inside their cells. There were also no complicated inner structures yet, so-called organelles. For at least 1 billion years, there existed on Earth only these relatively simple single-cell organisms without cell nuclei. They formed the vanguard of life, as it were. These organisms continued to be the only living beings on Earth for a total of over 3 billion years. Multicellular living beings have been on Earth for only about 800 to 900 million years. Over the course of millions of years, a slow accumulation of oxygen took place in the atmosphere. Many single-cell organisms had no use for oxygen. It was even a cell poison. We could speak of an oxygen disaster. Some single-cell organisms managed to cope with oxygen and to then use it to produce energy. The oldest known, more highly developed cells are about 1.8 billion years old. During the primeval time of the Earth, the Precambrian time, there were frequent massive glacial periods during which the Earth was almost completely covered with ice. In this connection, we use the term snowball Earth. About 580 million years ago, it appears that a stabilization of the climate occurred. Toward the end of the Precambrian time, peculiar living beings appeared on Earth, which, as we know from fossil finds, looked like little air mattresses or also fern leaves. These early living beings must have developed very well at first, because they didn't yet have any natural enemies. During the transition period to the Paleozoic era, very bizarre animal forms appeared, which geologists call weird wonders. These animal forms have a certain similarity to arthropods and had a threatening appearance, for example, with mouths like circular saws, with five eyes in their head, and with movable pincers on stalks.
Thus far, a short scientific explanation to the primeval times or early period of the Earth. In previous programs, we read about cycles in which the transformation down of the fine material life forms to the coarse material matter took place. Hans Günther, are there any parallels to this from a scientific point of view?
The current state of science concerning the further emergence of the Earth is the following. Based on the development of organisms, the Mesozoic era is divided into six periods, which have their own names: Cambrian, Ordovician, Silurian, Devonian, Carboniferous, and lastly Permian. In the Cambrian period, 545 to 495 million years, that is, at the beginning of the Mesozoic era, there was a sudden explosion of life forms on Earth. In geology, sudden can be a time frame of 5 to 10 million years. Important index fossils in the Cambrian are the trilobites, which populated the Earth for many millions of years. At first, life existed only in the ocean. During the Silurian period, 443 to 417 million years ago, the first conquest of dry land occurred. The Silurian plant still had very small leaves that looked more like thorns. Compared with modern plants, they looked quite naked, which is why they are also described as vascular plants. During this period, even jawed fish appeared for the first time. In addition, fossils of huge crustaceans have been found, which could be up to 2 meters long and thus were the largest arthropods that ever lived on Earth. During the Devonian period, 417 to 358 million years ago, the gill breathing of fish gradually evolved into the pulmonary respiration of land vertebrates. Thus, during the Devonian, the first amphibians evolved that could live in water as well as on land. Proper fish, some of which looked like our present rays or skates, already lived in the oceans of that time.
From the explanations of Gabriella, we know that the folly find, that is, the turning away of the spirit beings from God, and the emergence of the coarse material world connected to this, took place with great turbulences. Hans Günther, in the current state of knowledge of science, is there anything that indicates such turbulences?
In fact, with the emergence of the life forms on the Earth, there were some rather extreme and great upheavals, that is, turbulences. I will read further from the scientific insert in the book. There we read, a mass extinction occurred toward the end of the Devonian, probably due to the cooling of the climate. The Devonian was followed by the Carboniferous period, 358 to 296 million years ago, the Black Coal Age. At that time, it was most likely quite hot on Earth, and this led to rampant plant growth. Amphibians sometimes grew to huge forms, up to 5 meters long, and there were huge dragonflies with 60 centimeters wingspans. The last period in the Paleozoic era is called Permian, 296 to 251 million years ago. During this period, increasingly large horsetail plants appeared along with conifers because the climate became drier on the whole. Important salt deposits developed during the Permian, which are still mined today, for instance, in northern Germany. During the Permian, a certain kind of dinosaur first appeared with a long sail on its back. At the end of the Permian, the largest mass extinction in the history of the Earth occurred, which claimed 75 to 90% of all animal species as victims. The Mesozoic era began about 250 million years ago and represents a kind of new beginning for living beings after the worst mass extinction of all time. During this era, the entire landmass was one single supercontinent, which we know as Pangaea. For this reason, land animals were able to spread out practically over the entire mainland, which can be easily recognized by fossil finds from that period. The climate was mostly hot and dry. The first mammals appeared during the Triassic period, presumably small, shrew-like animals. Turtles and crocodiles also originated during this period. New forms of saurians appeared on Earth. During the late Triassic, dinosaurs were already quite successful and had largely displaced other animal species. On the whole, dinosaurs dominated the continents for a good 150 million years. Birds represent the sole line of evolution from the dinosaurs that still live today and, from the viewpoint of evolution biology, are most closely related to crocodiles.
And so we can say that there were enormous changes that took place in the animal species during the course of further development. Now there is a question. What does man know about the development of the plant world that is closely linked with the animal world? What does that look like from a scientific viewpoint?
The world of plants was also caught up in a continuous process of transformation. In the scientific insert, we can read the following to this. In the plant world, seed-bearing plants increasingly developed. Toward the end of this period came the first precursors of flowering plants. A shallow sea repeatedly formed on the great continent Pangaea, which is why very many fossils can be found today in limestone. The second period in the Mesozoic era is called Jurassic. During this period, a breakup of Pangaea occurred. During the Jurassic and the following Cretaceous periods, dinosaurs experienced their great period of prosperity, whereby during the late Jurassic, the largest dinosaurs of all times appeared. In addition, primeval birds developed during the late Jurassic. In the plant world of the Jurassic period, gymnosperms such as conifers, ginkgo trees, and palm ferns were widespread. The ammonites, snail-like living beings, attained their greatest diversity of species during the Jurassic, since there were numerous warm, shallow seas. Such ammonites can frequently be found today as fossils in limestone. The Cretaceous period began 145 million years before the present time and lasted about 80 million years. It ended with the extinction of the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. During the Cretaceous, a clear separation of the continents already occurred, and the Earth began to assume the formation of continents as we know it today. The sea level during the Cretaceous was much, much higher than at present, so that flat seas covered large parts of the continents. The sea level might have been about 200 meters higher than that of today. With the development of flowering plants, insects increasingly appeared. Mammals played a still subordinate role. Mammals split into two large evolutionary lines, marsupials and placental mammals. In Australia and South America, the marsupials, for instance, kangaroos, koalas, opossums developed in great diversity.
If we talk about the emergence of the Earth, and the question always comes up about when and particularly why did the dinosaurs die out? Hans Günther, is there something that can be said to that from the scientific point of view?
I will read from the explanations the current state of knowledge on this. The Cretaceous period and, with it, the Mesozoic era ended 65 million years ago with a great mass extinction. It meant the end of the dinosaurs, which had lived for 150 million years. Most of the living beings in the oceans also died through this disaster, which is ascribed to the impact of an asteroid, which presumably had a diameter of about 10 kilometers. The energy of this impact must have been absolutely gigantic. It was presumably about 10,000 to 100,000 times greater than the total energy of all existing atomic weapons. Meant, of course, are the atomic weapons of today that did not exist back then. However, this cannot be precisely calculated. Over a long period of time, the Earth was enveloped in volcanic ash and dust. It was dark and cold on the Earth, and, by and large, the photosynthesis of plants came to a standstill.
But life on the Earth apparently was not totally wiped out, otherwise we human beings would not exist and neither would nature. Now, how then did the Earth, with its world of plants and animals, recover from this disaster?
We can, of course, only be astounded, including the scientists, about how the life after such a break was then again able to recover and continue to develop. Today, this break marks the third break in the history of the Earth, the new age of the Earth, the so-called tertiary, that began around 65 million years ago and ended about 2.6 million years ago. During the tertiary, the continents moved nearly to their present positions. At first, the climate was still tropically warm, but cooled off very strongly during the second half of the tertiary and turned into an ice age. During the tertiary, the time of prosperity for the mammals began, which branched into numerous evolutionary lines. The genus man appeared on Earth approximately 2.5 million years ago. Before that, there must have been so-called man-like beings. However, opinions in science regarding this change constantly. The tertiary period was followed by the quaternary period, the period of the Ice Age and of man. The quaternary period began 2.6 million years ago. During the peak of the last glaciation, the sea level was about 120 meters lower than today. Winter in Europe must have been very icy because the Gulf Stream nearly came to a standstill. During the quaternary, there were very many large mammal species, a so-called megafauna. For example, mammoths, huge kangaroos, giant camels, big wolves, elephants, giant ground sloths, and giant armadillos. However, many of these huge species died out with the beginning of an interglacial interval, so that of the large mammals, only elephants, rhinoceroses, and hippopotamuses still exist. The first species of the genus Homo probably lived about 2 million years ago in East Africa. The Neanderthals lived from 200,000 to 130,000 years ago. So-called modern man, Homo sapiens, has existed for approximately 100,000 years.
Thus far, the scientific insertion on the emergence of the Earth. To many a one, surely, among other things, it was clear that the minerals, the plants, and the animals were on the earth before the human beings, and this can really bring us to think about it. Dear fellow people, our topic, the Speaking All Unity, the word of the Universal Creator Spirit, leads us more and more into the awareness that all living beings and all life forms created by the Eternal belongs to the All Community of God, to the Cosmic All Unity, the Family of God, our Heavenly Father. If you would like to follow this thought more deeply, we invite you very warmly to tune in again to our next program, to an appeal to the link and be the true life in you, in all of us. Until then, if you want, we wish you all the best. Goodbye.